blessed to be a blessing. So bless you on the 27th of December 2020. Bless you. When we say bless you, what is it that we're actually saying? Are we saying, like, I hope everything goes well? Or in Aussie terms, all the best, mate? What do we mean by it, bless you? When we invoke God and say, God bless you, what are we meaning? I mean, the word is used so much, isn't it? It nearly gets thrown around as a buzzword or a cliche. I think the danger is that we lose a sense of what the word is really conveying, and indeed the power of declaring blessing. So when you say the Lord bless you to someone, are you saying, like, a Christian goodbye, like, see you later, but if we're Christians, Lord bless you? Or are we speaking a prayer over their life that good things would happen to them? Just what is it that we're expecting? What is it that we're hoping for that the Lord will do when we say, the Lord bless you? Blessed to be a blessing. That's our four-week series. It's a series that's going to take me out. I mean, hopefully still kind of walking, but... This is a big topic. Like, 4 weeks might seem a lot, but, like, we're going to scratch the surface. You see, even today on those passages looked at, all we're really going to do is hit some highlights. And I just want to encourage you and invite you to really dig into this, because the Lord puts massive emphasis on blessing from beginning to end. It is a super important topic for heaven, and heaven wants earth to really grab onto it. God's people are people of blessing, and we're called to be channels of blessing. Well, it's good you're here. Let's start with a little definition of blessing. Blessing is, as the words come up on the screen, blessing is the projection of good into the life of another. It isn't just words. That's a key thing to grab. It's not just words. It's the actual putting forth of your will for the good of the other person. It always invokes God. Why does it always invoke God? Because he's the only one who can bring good into the person's life. Does that make sense? It's more than words. It's this, yeah, I'm wanting blessing and good in the person, and Lord, you're the only one who can come and bring it. And the Bible speaks of a path of blessedness, and it also speaks of a path that takes us away from blessedness. And I'll look at that both next week when we look at the power of words, and the week after we'll touch on curses. You've already got that marked in your diaries, haven't you? I really want to be there for that one where we talk about curses. In the ancient world, nothing was more important than securing the blessing of God on yourself, on your family, on your nation. What people most desired in the ancient world was actually having a blessed life. So a really excellent Old Testament commentator and English guy by the name of Gordon Wenham says this, and he uses the word man, let's use it in a generic sense. Where modern man talks of success, I wonder if you could guess the rest of the sentence, the Old Testament man talks of blessing. Isn't that a great quote? Our world speaks of success. The ancient world spoke of blessing. And there are two principal Hebrew words that we get translated into the English as blessed, or sometimes as happy, depending on the translation. One of those words is asri, A-S-R-E, and that Hebrew word puts the emphasis on a state of happiness. This is the one that you're going to see, especially at the beginning of the book of Psalms, the Psalter. And so Psalm 1, I wonder if you remember, it's a great memory verse. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Blessed is the one. Happy is the one. And then in verse 12, blessed, happy are all who take refuge in the Lord. So it's used often, and you could look that up with all the great sort of modern Bible software. It's easy to go and do a search on that. But the most common word is Baruch, B-A-R-U-K. This is the most common Hebrew word which we have translated as blessed 300 times. So it's like significant emphasis in Scripture, and you see it particularly in the book of Genesis and Deuteronomy. Okay, so what's the sense of the word? The sense is that you are being empowered or you are favored as a recipient of God's blessing. Okay, so one word, great emphasis on happiness. The most common word, you're being empowered, you're favored as a recipient of the Lord's blessing. And as this next slide comes up, if you look through all of the ways that that Hebrew word is used in Scripture, you'll see it, you could maybe bullet down to a fourfold meaning. God will bless us spiritually and materially. He will give us guidance and direction. Right? This is part of being blessed by the Lord, Baruch. He will establish a protection around his children, thirdly. And fourthly, he'll set in motion the vision of God's desire for us. I was nearly going to encourage us all just to get that into our head to, you know, I've done this in the past, let's say all this together, but I'll hold back, you know, COVID word. But let me just say that again so we really grab onto this, that God will bless us spiritually and materially, that he will give guidance and direction, provide protection, and set in motion the vision, if you like, of his desire, his plan, his destiny that he has for us. The Lord's face is turned towards us. His favor is on us. He's blessing us. Baruch. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? And it's got that richness, like in English, we tend to go, well, one word has one meaning. There's this sort of complexity in the word. Not only do we want to be blessed, if we're really connected to the Lord Jesus, we will have a heart desire to see others blessed. And there's a whole series on the power there is in declaring the blessing of God. I was sharing with some people on Christmas Eve, a guy by the name of James Maloney, who in many ways has nearly been like an online mentor to me over the years, but I was actually blessed to be ministered by him in person some years back. Well, he's celebrating Christmas in glory, having been struck down by COVID. And he's been going through a school of prophecy, and part of that school of prophecy, and I get, I don't know, what is it, two of his 1 hour talks a week, which is just fantastic. And I've got lots of time to listen to as I travel from the eastern suburbs down here to Caulfield. But two of those talks, and he's gone home and we're only up to talk 24, but two of those talks is on the power of blessing. It's a significant part of the gift of prophecy, of speaking exhortation, encouragement, edification on to other people. Well, that's a whole little, not tangent, but it's another aspect of it. So from our first reading, thank you so much, Connie. I'll bless you, you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So that Hebrew root word in Genesis 12, 1 to 3, it's actually used five times. And if you go home this afternoon after an in-and-app and read those 11 chapters before, I'll tell you what, it's a pretty dark canvas before you get to Genesis 12. And so this blessing that just kind of pumps out of those three verses stands in such sharp contrast to what has immediately preceded it. And these are stunning promises, promises of blessing, blessing, and blessing. And who was Abram? He was a moon worshipper. He was a moon worshipper from Ur. We worship a God whose heart just overflows with blessing. But blessing didn't just appear when Abram rocked up on the scene. It's not as if we just come across blessing when we get to Genesis 12. Blessing is represents the very heart of God. So where are you going to see it? You're going to see it right at the beginning of the created order. And I want you to grab this concept because I think it's one of the critical ones. When you think of blessing, think of sphere of relationship. Okay? Sphere of relationship with the Lord, with others, and you'll see this sphere of relationship and blessing right at the beginning of Scripture. The first sphere of blessing that we read about is the created order, and you can think about the created order as you gaze at that little globe up on the screen. God's first action after creation was to bless. Is that amazing? He pronounces blessing three times. On day five, he blesses the creatures of the sea and air. On day six, he blesses mankind. And what would the third one be? He blesses the Sabbath on day seven. And those first two blessings are immediately followed by the instruction, remember, to multiply and fill the seas and the earth. And to mankind, God pronounces a blessing, and he does it in a very intimate manner. So in Genesis 1:28, his blessing on mankind begins with "to them." God blessed them. He blessed them and he said, "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Now, this is way more than God just expressing goodwill. Okay? There's power in this. There's content. He's saying, go and fill. It's like as the Lord issues this blessing, it's efficacious. There's power from heaven, which is then given to mankind for them to do what? Fill, multiply, and subdue. And it was blessing that conferred the power of fertility. And so natural abundance is one of the leading images of divine blessing. I kind of feel a series coming up on me, but that'll be somewhere else, some other time. And it's on the prosperity gospel. I wonder if I can say this in 90 seconds. Now, the church down through the ages has this terrible habit of pendulum swings. Goes here and then it swings the other way, right? And we're living in an era where prosperity gospel is like a swear word. And we go, we nearly develop a mentality that says, we're not going to be like those who go, God's going to bless us with a Cartier watch. We actually feel very blessed because we're broke. No, no, Scripture never speaks about that. Has there been an extreme? Absolutely. Because what's called the prosperity gospel has missed that we're blessed to be a blessing, that we're blessed to be a channel of blessing others. But let me say this very clearly. You cannot read Scripture and not see that God is a prosperous God who wants what? His people to prosper, and he wants them to prosper so that the kingdom, so that the world prospers. Do you grab that? It's the enemy that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's so deceiving that some in the church have taken the message to the extreme, and then the reaction to that is to do what? Is to remove it from our vocabulary. So I'm just simply standing here and saying, on the authority of God's word, he's a God who desires to bless. He's a God who desires to bless materially and spiritually, but he's not saying, Rod, therefore you're going to get three Maseratis. He is saying, Lord, I want to bless you, Rod, so that you'll be what? A channel of blessing to others. Did I do that in 90 seconds? Well, it might have been 2 minutes. Natural abundance is one of the leading images of divine blessing. So that's in creation. The next time you hear of blessing is the launching of the new world order after the flood. And interestingly, the language there is nearly the same as in that first creation account. If we were to go and look at Genesis 9, God blesses Noah, his family, and what does he do? He instructs them to go and be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. At the same time, he enters into covenant, he enters into relationship. Remember, blessing, relationship, and it includes respect for life. All right, so that's okay, but then after Noah gets back on dry land, the world again descends into sinful chaos, and it's into that dark picture comes God, who blesses, and he calls a moon worshipper. And just as I'm bringing up this little map to remember Abram being called from Ur, we would think of this as probably the lower part of Iraq today, all the way across. And he makes and gives these extravagant blessings that we've already read in Genesis 12, 1 to 3. But as those words are up on the screen, let me just say them again, because this is just such a critical part of Scripture. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I'll show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those you bless, and whoever curses you, I'll curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." I mean, it's stunning, but what does it entail? Well, at an absolute minimum, it's clearly got multiplication, spreading, filling, abundance. But more than that, Abram's wife Sarai, we're told, is barren, and both Sarai and Abram are old and elderly. So if you think of that context, you go, wow, that word's kind of a bit weird, but God delivers. Isaac is born, a miracle baby. And God enters into this covenant relationship with Abram and his descendants. Remember, God had promised Abram, "I'll bless you, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." The relational aspect of blessing is really central, vertically and horizontally. So think about the vertical aspect. Those who are blessed know who it is who's blessing them, and they seek to live in a faithful relationship with the one who's blessing. Right? Blessing, think of it in love. God loves us. We respond in love because we're experiencing God's love. We're called to love others as ourselves. Blessing, when we are blessed, we recognize we're blessed because of the one who's blessing us, and we seek to be in a faithful relationship with him. Vertical. Horizontal. We then reach out to those around us. If we were to read through the beautiful, well, sort of beautiful, it's kind of life in all its technicolor in Genesis. But you'll see that when person over here contacts someone who has been blessed by the Lord, what happens to that person? They're blessed. Vertical and horizontal. And so the story of Abraham, it looks backward to the creation account, and it looks forward to the story of redemption. So with this slide up on the screen, I want you to think about this. The cord that links the story of creation with the story of redemption, the cord is blessing. God comes, he blesses the created order. Why is blessing the cord that ties them to do? Because redemption is restoring things back to the original blessing. Do you get it? That's why blessing theologically is so important. This is what's tying together creation and redemption or salvation. And if you were to read through the chapters of Isaiah 40, those beautiful chapters 40 through to about 46, just as a good little sort of Bible study devotional exercise one day, write down the verse where it speaks about creation and then the verse where it speaks about saving, delivering, rescuing, redemption. And you'll find all the way through those chapters, there's this beautiful sort of interwining of creation and saving, creation and saving. And then ultimately you see that in the book of Revelation. See, that vision in the throne room, Revelation 4, is one of God as creator. But Revelation 5 is the Lamb who's been slain. And so it's really important to hold creation and redemption, salvation together. And what holds them together is blessing, God's favor, the power that comes in blessing and brings things back to the right order. So the promises are made to Abraham. They're reiterated to Isaac, Jacob, and there's a covenant that's established. And I'm just really kind of giving some headlines today. When you get a chance, roll up your sleeves and do an in-depth Bible study on the Abrahamic promises. Not just for those who are going to go, oh, well, they probably go to Ridley. I mean, like everyone. Because when you read the Abrahamic promises, you'll actually see how both the Old and the New Testament hold together. Otherwise, you get caught in like, no, that was a good story, you know, like Daniel in the lion's den, and I like this one. I don't know whether I like this one so much. But the Abrahamic promises tie, it's the superstructure. It actually ties the whole of Scripture, and guess what? Finally, those Abrahamic promises will not be realized in their entirety until when? The new heaven, the new earth. So it completely is the structure that holds all of Scripture together. Knowing our roots, knowing our family tree is super important. As you look at this little slide, have a think about your family roots. You know, not that my family on my dad's side were shining examples of people who really knew their family roots. I well remember coming home from school, maybe I was a 12-year-old, and I go, hey, Dad, we've been talking about, you know, different cultures and ethnic groups and that. We're Scottish, aren't we? He goes, no, we're Irish. And I'm going, oh, all right, okay, I thought we were Scottish. Anyway, 25 years later, my cousin was doing some research, and it turns out that McArdles were persecuted Catholics by those dreaded Protestants in Scotland. And we escaped from Scotland and settled in Ireland, and we settled in the 1600s, and we settled in the southeast section of the current border between Northern Ireland and Ireland. And yes, there is indeed a very famous coat of arms coming up on your screen now, the McArdle coat of arms. And if you think, you know, we're kind of Scottish and Irish, bit of a mixture, still trying to work out who we are. But we are famous. We're so famous indeed that there are now hoodies that are made for the McArdle clan. Do you know your spiritual roots? It's critical that you know your spiritual roots. I was clearly a bit confused about our human roots. When the Apostle Paul writes to churches in Galatia, Paul is like paranoid. He's super concerned about where they are spiritually. False teaching has got into the church from the Judaizers, and the teaching is effectively about spiritual roots. It was about how are you actually connected to the Lord. And friends, it's still in some ways it's current today. We're not connected to the Lord by being biologically connected to Abram. We're not connected to the Lord by obeying some particular set of protocols. It's about Jesus. And it's about faith in Jesus alone. So as these words come up on the screen again from Galatians 3 verse 6. So also Abraham, and then here's a quote, a stunning verse used a number of times in the New Testament. It's from Genesis chapter 15 verse 6. Abram believed God, and it was credited to him, reckoned to him as righteousness. Verse 7, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and he announced the gospel. I love this verse. He announced the gospel in advance to Abram. All nations will be blessed through you. And Paul is quoting from Genesis chapter 12, verse 9. Maybe we could say this together in a very low voice. So I'll speak louder and you can be quieter. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So don't miss what the Lord's saying here. Galatians is a small book, but it's pretty dense. It's got great stuff in it. We're saved through faith. And friends, that's no different to anyone at any time. Every person that was saved in the Old Testament was saved through faith. Doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek, it is the same. The gospel is for all. And blessing flows when we are connected to God. Think of this. It's like, whoa, flowing out into us and then to others. All right. Verse 16. How are the nations going to be blessed through Abraham? As the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. Now, I know it's kind of just after Christmas, and this is pretty dense, but it's critical. Union with Christ is the blessing that everyone needs. He is the seed, proper noun, capital S. Union with him is what's required in order to be truly blessed. Now, because Christ is the seed, capital S, of Abram, verse 16, a person becomes a child of Abraham when? When they're connected to the seed. So that's why we read in verse 26 as the words come up. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29. If you belong to Christ, how do we belong to him? Through faith. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And what does that mean? You are heirs according to the promise. Is this making sense? If you like, material blessings were spoken from God to Abram, and we see those material blessings flowing out. Look at the millions that were down in Egypt, the slaves. I mean, you see that multiplication. But there is material and spiritual blessings. And the young Christians in the churches in Galatia were being told, you've got to do this, you've got to go and grab this from the law of Moses, you've got to follow this protocol. And Paul's saying, for heaven's sake, stop. This is nonsense. I mean, his language is strong. It's about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're not chucking out the old. Because when you trust in the Lord Jesus, he is the seed of Abraham. And so when you're connected to the Lord Jesus, we become who? The true children of Abraham, which means all of those blessings that were pronounced on Abram flow through who? Through us, through the church. Do you see how critical this topic, this subject of blessing is? We become the instruments for the Lord to bring his blessing through us so that all the nations of the world will be blessed. So what does all this mean for us? Pretty simple. It means everything. The greatest blessing is to know God and to be known by him. And it is only through faith alone in the Lord Jesus. Friends, here's the crunch line. We are blessed to be a blessing. How do all the nations get blessed? Those promises that were given to Abraham. They're blessed because we who are the children of Abraham are called to be salt and light. See, the Sermon on the Mount, regarded perhaps as, you know, the greatest sermon preached, Matthew 5, it's actually a series of blessings. And the Lord says, Rod, I want you to go out and be salt and light in the world so that you become a channel of blessing. I will bless you, and through you, through Oak Tree corporately, you will be a blessing. By taking the message of the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour, the universal Saviour, the particular Saviour, only one Saviour, to a lost world. So we're under commission. We're under commission to go and be instruments of blessing. So as I wrap up, I wonder what it is as you head into a new year that is really kind of at the centre of your life. Maybe think of bucket lists. What's the stuff that you'd like to kind of get knocked off on your bucket list? Well, you might have lots of things on your bucket list which are part of getting out and about and enjoying God's creation. I think that's good. I think it's appropriate. If we could travel, he's blessed us with a very exciting world. But the world that we live in needs to be restored. It needs to be renewed from the curse of sin. And so we're called to be kingdom citizens. Do you see the biblical context of this? We're called to be instruments of blessing. Blessing all around. We'll talk more about this in the final message on the fourth week. Let's stand together. I want to pronounce a blessing on us, and it's a blessing that we find in Numbers chapter 6. So friends at Oak Tree, physically here, out in Zoom land, on YouTube streaming, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Be open to the Lord. When we say those words, Lord bless you, it's like, God, bring good constantly into each of these person's lives. Lord keep you. That is, the Lord protect you. The blood of Jesus and the Spirit of Christ be over you, keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord's shining face be over you. Being gracious means that God's love flows and he creates something that's good. The Lord turn his face towards you. May the Lord look right at you personally. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you, and turn his face towards you and give you peace.